Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nichols is in there. Give it to him. Easy touchdown. Mick Nichols scores to extend the Washington lead.
That made it 24-14, and it didn't look good for the black and gold. But they got Russ, and they didn't blink, as Mike Tomlin says. And we've been asking all morning long, what was your biggest takeaway from the Steelers' victory over the Commanders at 412-928-9370? And you can text in your responses, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And I thought this was a good text, Oren. Justin says, with Russ and Tomlin, they don't panic. And man, I think that's a great observation. They just kept playing the game. They fumbled the ball at the goal line. Mm-hmm. That should be it. You should be done then. You have your chance. You blow it. You are inches away from taking the lead. They just kept hanging with it. Kept hanging with it. Made the plays when they needed to pull out victory. You're right, Justin. This team has no panic.
Well, that's
steady hand.
Like, I know people don't like to use this, but that's why resume has a big deal in sports. And if you get two people at the most important spots, really, in sports, that have won before, that's what you get. Like, I don't care if it was 10 years ago when Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl, or even, you know, even longer than that with Mike Tomlin winning a Super Bowl. They know how to get there, and they know what it takes, and they know not to panic. They've seen so much football. They know how games go. I'm not saying that they'll, you know, put that all together and win a Super Bowl this year, but they've been there before. That matters. That always has mattered to me. That matters.
And the roster's good, and we had talked about that before the season. This might be the best, deepest roster the Steelers have had in a long time, but it all comes down to quarterback. Russ isn't better than Mahomes. He's not better than Josh Allen. He's not better than Joe Burrow or the guy you're going to see this week, but he's good. And if you have a good quarterback in a really good roster around him, you got a chance. And I don't think they were really good for stretches of that game yesterday. In fact, I thought at times Russ was fairly brutal. Didn't matter. Still put up 28 points. And we had a caller earlier who made a great point. Didn't see Boswell.
He just
comes out for kickoffs and extra points. I like the way that he described that. Real quick before we do jump back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. The defense played better than the 27 number would indicate, I think, for a couple of reasons. And Chris Carter, who we have on every Friday at 8, tweeted this. Steelers held the Commanders to 60 rushing yards. That's 2.7 yards per carry on 22 rushes. Commanders came into the game averaging 164 rushing yards a game and 5 yards a carry. And then meanwhile, Jaden Daniels, who I thought did some really nice things, and he's got it. This is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
202 yards passing, 5 yards rushing. And when you think about the scoring drives for Washington, okay, they had a 15-play touchdown drive, or a 15-yard touchdown drive.
Right, fake punt.
After the fake punt, 40-yard field goal drive, a 19-yard field goal drive. So three of the scoring drives, okay, it accounted for like 80-some yards. Then the two touchdown drives, the 94-yarder before the half, and then they bookended it with a 71-yard touchdown drive after the half. Apart from that, I thought the Steelers' defense actually did play really well.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Queen, to me,
he was on fire.
He was awesome. Keanu Benton with a massive tackle. We saw Minkah Fitzpatrick on Zach Ertz on a key third down stop. And then we saw the DeMonte KZ hit on Ertz at the end of the game. TJ Watt forcing Jaden Daniels in the end zone to rush a pass. I thought they made plays all game long. And, okay, so you gave up 27 points. Great defenses in 2024 are going to give up yards at times, and they're going to give up points. They didn't give up yards in this game. Fewer than 250 total yards for Washington. 60 yards rushing. This was not a bad defensive performance. It wasn't great, but they made key plays when it needed to be made, and they helped win the game.
Let's talk about Cam Hayward, too.
Oh, my.
I mean, two sacks. The guy has just been playing on another level this year. I mean, he's almost unblockable at times. And, you know, like you said, and Patrick Queen just, you know, it was.
He's been getting better and better.
He's been getting better and better. Yes, he has. And, you know, this defense, whenever you can put a performance like that, and like you said, the ending score doesn't really tell the full story. But if you could put a performance like that and TJ Watt not being the main factor of the game, then you're doing something very well. That means that you have a good defense, because it's only a matter of time, game in and game out. If he's quiet like in one game, he's not going to be quiet in the next game.
They won a game when he had no sacks and no tackles.
Yes.
That's a good football team.
Right.
So Detroit last night throws 5 interceptions and wins. You know what that tells me? They're really good.
Yes.
If you can screw up that much and still win, you're really good. When your best player, Pittsburgh, doesn't...
The best player in the league, basically, on that side of the ball.
Yes. When he does not really register a stat and you win, you're a good football team. Biggest takeaway from Steelers 28, Commanders 27. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the phones in a moment. It is 7:07, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Jay in the DMV area in Richmond. Hey, what's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you feeling?
I'm doing well, man. Listen to y'all guys every morning. Love your show. Absolutely great game. My take is if Russ continues at this pace, win, lose, or draw in the season, you got to sign him. For next season, he looks healthy, mobile, rejuvenated with this team. The interview with Russ before the game suggests him and Justin have great chemistry and respect for each other and can work together. It'll be interesting to see how that goes for next season. The timing and assignment of Williams and Smith is really the chef's kiss, so hats off to Khan. And finally, with all respect to Commanders, looking to be Jaden Daniels, I hope that for his sake, they add a few pounds to that frame. My man's out there looking like a mini Wiz Khalifa. I didn't realize he was so small to the interview. No wonder he didn't want to run against RD once we had set the pace. So that's my take, fellas.
Thank you, Jay. They were checking on his ribs from time to time on the sideline, too. He is a string bean out there.
He's kidding.
I still think maybe the biggest play of the game, on the defensive side at least, was Keanu Benton tripping him up.
Yes.
Because he was going to go. And then you're just hoping there's enough time on the clock after they attempt a field goal. It's a hell of a play by Benton, who's been fairly quiet this year. So every hand was in the pile on this one. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You had something to say?
Well, I think that there's so many components to this game, and we're going to get into a whole bunch clearly, but I think another one that's very significant is that Mike Tomlin didn't get out-coached by a good coach and a good coaching staff. Like, their coaching staff didn't get out-coached by Dan Quinn's coaching staff and Cliff Kingsbury. I think that's very, very significant to pay attention to. Because sometimes, we've seen that happen a bunch with Mike Tomlin, just get out-coached, you know, get in his own mind. I mean, even bad challenges, clock management, things of that nature. Like, he didn't let Dan Quinn and that staff beat him. And they're good coaching staff.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And if the Steelers jumped off sides the way Washington did at the end of the game, you know who that's falling on?
Yep.
Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin's getting killed for that. You know what they're doing. How do you let that happen? Your defense. Dan Quinn, defensive head coach. I'm not sure that's his fault. But in fact,
yeah, it is.
You think so?
Yeah, because you're talking about that. Was there a timeout before that? Yeah, there was a timeout.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. You're saying that and you're reiterating it 1,000 times whenever you're with your defense. That is his fault. Well, I mean, but it's clearly the player's fault. But he needs to have everybody's attention in that moment. And if he wasn't reiterating that and he just thought that everybody knew, then that definitely it's his
fault. Oh, then it's totally his fault. I still can't believe that happened.
I know.
So the last caller brought up Russ, and if he keeps playing this way, you got to re-sign him. I totally agree. Russell Wilson threw three games, 105.9 quarterback rating, six touchdowns through the air, one through the ground, and one interception, which really was basically a punt.
A punt, yep.
Wait, I never mind picks like that.
No.
Honestly, and the Steelers are backed up in their own end. Heads up play by Pickens to make sure he touched the defender down, chin down.
Then he chokeslammed him. Did you see that? After.
Can we just pause real quick and talk about our friend George Pickens?
Man.
There's nothing he does conventionally. He had that long catch and run, and he's hopping all over the place like a bunny. He had the one on the sideline where there's the mutual face mask going, and he's holding the ball up.
Wait, what?
He's
something else.
He looks like Michael Jordan going up for a lay. He's got the ball out. I mean, put the ball away. What are you doing? And he mauls the dude on the interception. Like, once he realizes he tapped him down, he's like, oh, I ain't running to tackle him. I already know I got him. I'm going to go all Super Saiyan on this dude. Yeah. I'm going to put him in a headlock. What a goofy player. But we talk about takeaways, and we're just jumping all over the place on today's show. We're taking calls, and we're going wherever the breeze takes us on this. George Pickens has been really, really good with Russell Wilson. He's been really good with this guy. And he looked the part of a number one wide receiver in this game. And doesn't it feel, Doran, like the whole George Pickens controversy was like a year and a half ago?
Yeah, it does. Thank goodness. I mean, I mean that's what happens whenever you get a leader and you get a true quarterback that knows what to do. George Pickens is, to me, honestly, the most deceiving wide receiver I think I've ever watched. Like, his speed is deceiving. His quickness is deceiving. His acrobatic, characteristics are deceiving. His strength is deceiving. Like, he breaks mad tackle. Like, if you watch him in a game, and, like, you're just so excited because he makes a big catch, and it looks good, and he's cutting back, and he's doing all these crazy things. But take a look at how many tackles George Pickens has broken this year. Like, he never goes down after really one tackle if he's open. Like, if he's open and he goes and gets the ball, he's not getting tackled by the first guy ever.
No, you're right about that. And that play I was joshing him on where he's hopping around, I mean, he's still breaking tackles.
Yes.
Hey, unconventional's good. When you look like other players, you got to be better conventionally. He's a totally unconventional guy. And the throw to him down the sideline where when it happened live, first of all, Russ drops it right in the bucket. That thing's a dot. I was like, oh, I hope he got his feet down. He got four.
Yes.
He got four down.
On purpose.
Yes.
He learned. From the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
What, last week?
I was just expecting the referee to say, no, if you get 4 feet down, that's not the same as getting two.
Yeah, you're not a dog.
Not a dog. D-A-W-G. 276 receiving yards in three games with Russell Wilson for George Pickens. 14 catches and two touchdowns. I'd say they figured that out quite nicely. I would like them not to throw as many deep shots to the small guys. I think that's going to organically work itself out the more Mike Williams gets folded into this thing. All right, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. It wasn't all flowers. We'll talk about some of the negatives when we come back. But we want your biggest takeaway from the Steelers' victory over the Commanders at 412-928-9370. Phone lines jammed. Get in. We'll get to all of you over the course of...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The show. We were just doing some schedule gazing. So the Steelers have Baltimore and then they go to Cleveland for the Thursday night football game. If you win these two, easier said than done, totally understand, but they have had Baltimore's number and Cleveland's no good. You're sitting there at 9-2, and if you do that, Baltimore's off after this game at 7-4. You will have a two-game divisional lead if you win your next two games. And then Baltimore goes and they play the Chargers on Monday Night Football and then the Eagles.
Mm.
So this game is huge, but it also tells you just how big the Washington game was.
Yes.
Because if you now take care of business at home and then against a bad football team these next 2 weeks, you got a two-game lead. But if you had lost to Washington, I mean, you're looking in that rearview mirror, even if you beat Baltimore, pretty much the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I said going into the game, that was the most important non-divisional game of the season, and I still stand by that. It was the most winnable of the three non-divisional games because Kansas City is Kansas City, and you never win in Philly, and the Steelers did get the job done. It wasn't all roses. We'll talk about some of the things that might concern you coming out of the win, but let's go to Matt in Maryland first. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I was at the game yesterday. I just wanted to say the crowd was absolutely crazy, and it was awesome to be there. But
Matt, were there more Steelers fans there than Commanders fans? Because on TV, you guys were cooking, man.
It was 75-25, no joke.
Oh, my God.
It was absolutely crazy. Like, and then I don't know if you could see it on TV. In the fourth quarter, like especially the end zone like drive for Daniels, they had to go silent count there. Like, they were losing their mind on the sidelines. Yeah,
you could hear it, Matt. You really could.
Yeah, it was crazy. So my two takeaways, though, is first off, I think the Steelers are the only team in the AFC that can beat the Chiefs. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I think the way they play, like, that was my first takeaway, like, just seeing them yesterday. Like, when have they ever won a game where they lost a turnover battle 3-0?
Huh.
T.J. Watt, I love him, but he was invisible yesterday. He had no tackles, no sacks, and you find a way to win the game. Like, this team is good for the first time. Like, they've been good for a while, but they have the chance to win some playoff games for the first time in a while. Like, I think they have a legit chance. I'm all in. So, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Matt. That's well said. You do lose the turnover battle.
Yep.
And T.J. Watt doesn't register a tackle or sack, and you win the football game. And you fumble at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ completed 50% of his passes, and you win the football game. That is the mark of
a
good team.
It's a sign.
Last year, they had one path to victory. The year before that, they had one path to victory. Early on this season, you felt like they probably only have one path to victory. You got to run the ball. You got to play defense. You got to not turn the thing over. They're Chiefs-ish in the way that they can beat you multiple ways. The Giants game wasn't going great. Bang. Punt return for a touchdown. The Jets game wasn't going great. Beanie Bishop, of all people, flips that thing on its head. This game, elements offensively and defensively that at times didn't look like they were working, and you still find a way to win. When you can engineer multiple paths to victory, that's the mark of a good football team.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you're aggressive about it. Like, you had that kind of, you know, we have nothing to lose mentality. I mean, and that obviously focuses on the fake punt attempt, but they have a good football team right now, and now you're starting division play. And we got here pretty quick, huh? It's like, man, that back half of the season, you know, November, you know, middle of November, that's the first division game, and now we're here. So it gets real. It gets real, and they know that, and they understand the assignment. They understood the assignment coming out of the bye week, heading down to D.C. to play a really good Commanders team, and they got the win. Like, that was all the focus. Like, it wasn't about, hey, we have to score this amount of points. We have to have this amount of yards. We have to have this many sacks. Like, no, we just need to win this football game and then get ready for the division, and they did that.
It is going to be a madhouse on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be... Prediction, because the crowds for the night games were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants and the Jets.
They were.
And you could sort of feel the groundswell of belief in those two games. It's going to feel like old school Ravens Steelers on Sunday.
Yes.
A 1 o'clock kick, there ain't going to be an empty seat in the place, and it's going to be bumping. So take care of business. But we'll get into that later on in the week. We've already touched on it a couple of times already. We can hardly contain our excitement. Doesn't mean everything went well yesterday. I thought Joey Porter Jr. was out to lunch. And Doran, you said this before the show, like, he's in position. You don't need to be as handsy as you are.
Yeah.
And that was a knock on him coming out of college. And it continues to be a knock on him. Easy for me to say. Three penalties in the game for Joey Porter Jr. and a couple of other unkind moments too. That was one of the negative takeaways for me.
not to nitpick.
No, I mean,
and Terry McLaurin's a tough customer.
He is, and I think that once Joey Porter Jr., if it may be like, you know, twice whenever he gets beat or, you know, somebody catches on him, he starts to get even more handsy. He doesn't have to do that. Like, he's been doing, he does that a lot. Like, there's a lot of penalties that, there's a lot of potential penalties that should have been flagged throughout the season where he just is just all over the receiver. And he's always in position because he's so long. So, like, you know, he just got to, you know what I would do? I would put handcuffs on him this week in practice. I'm half joking. I'd put handcuffs and be like, all right, now you practice that way so you don't get so
I like
handsy.
That.
Yeah.
Joe Judge, back when he was the coach for like a minute for the New York Giants, he taped tennis balls to the defensive back's hands.
Yeah,
so that they wouldn't get grabby. Yeah.
Yeah, boxing gloves.
That might send the opposite message.
Yeah, go knock somebody out.
Yeah, he's going to look like Jake Paul against Tyson.
Friday.
That's Friday?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a sports weekend.
I know.
Backyard brawl, Tyson Paul, which I'm... embarrassed to say I'm going to pay for.
Me too.
Yeah, I need.
Well,
to
I think it's on Netflix.
So. Is it on the Flix?
Yeah, it's on the Flix.
Oh, perfect. Already paid for it.
We're good.
So you got that, then you got Clemson on Saturday, and we'll get into the Pitt debacle and the officials at the end of that game coming up in a little bit, and then you got, oh my God, Steelers Ravens for a lot of the marbles. Maybe not all the marbles, but a lot of the marbles coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock. All right, coming up next. Been an hour and a half into the show, and one of the obvious things we have not talked about in depth, we're going to do that coming up next. And the entire show will take your phone calls at 412-928-9370 on your biggest takeaway from the Steelers' victory over the Commanders. Mine is that they could score points, the Steelers. That it wasn't always pretty offensively, and still, they put up 28 points. What's your biggest takeaway from the game? There's a lot.
There's a lot.
We've gone over a lot of takeaways.
I would say the coaching matchup. But I did say something different before, and I had to take some time to think about it because I forgot.
That they were able to beat a good coach.
Yes.
Is a big deal. Is a big deal. Like, that is a good coach. And Mike Tomlin gave him his flowers after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good football team.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me at all if Washington bounced back, went into Philly on Thursday night, and won that game.
Yes.
It really wouldn't. That's a good team. All right. One of the obvious takeaways that we haven't spent a lot of time on, we'll spend time on next.
Third and long. Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it! Touchdown! Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores!
All right, so Omar Khan already gets an A-plus for what he did at the deadline. I mean, you give up a seventh-round pick for Preston Smith, who makes one of the key plays of the game, the first play of the fourth quarter. And the Commanders are at the Steelers' 40-yard line. And if you get any kind of positive yards, their kicker's banging it from 55. And instead, he snuffs out the attempted throwback, 11-yard loss, and the Commanders are forced to punt. It keeps it a one-score game. So a seventh-round pick to help win a game, already worth it. And then you give up a fifth-round pick for Mike Williams, and all he does is come into the game and make the play of the game. On a play he never practiced that they were going to run to Calvin Austin. So A-plus job for Omar Khan. Two players, you acquire them, they come in, and both of them have a huge impact on the game in terms of engineering victory.
And both of them have created depth, and you have two injuries at both, or you have an injury at both of those positions now. So both of those guys will probably be starters. Calvin Austin, I don't know if he's going to be out this week. He did get banged up, but if he is, you created depth with Mike Williams. He makes a significant play in the game. Now he'll be folded in as potential starter or the number three receiver. And then on defense, Alex Highsmith is going to be out. Don't know how long, but Preston Smith will be the starting outside backer. So yeah, you created that depth too.
I would think even if Herbig plays, I think you might see more Preston Smith in this game in particular, right?
Absolutely.
They're going to run the ball. They got Derrick Henry. I think you're going to see more prediction, more Preston Smith than Nick Herbig in this game.
No doubt.
Immediately, too. And I think the obvious question here is, I mean, and I think it's an obvious answer, too. Have we not seen enough already on one reception from Mike Williams to think before long he is going to be the Steelers' number two wide receiver?
Yes, because you threw the ball to Van Jefferson, three, four times, and two of those were maybe go routes. I know at least one of them was, and he couldn't even locate the football. And then you throw one to Mike Williams, and he scores a touchdown over the shoulder. Very tough catch.
That's what I was going to ask you at some point during the show today, and I'm happy you bring it up. Russ threw some bad balls in this game. Also, a couple that I know this isn't what happened. It wasn't the Dallas Cowboys game. It almost like they got it lost in the lights. Like,
yeah.
Two times, one with Calvin Austin and one with Van Jefferson, where they're not even coming close to locating the football. And again, not perfect throws by Russ, but I feel like each of them had a chance to make a play on the ball, and neither of them did.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked bizarre.
I just don't think that either of those guys are outside receivers. I really don't think that. I think that Van Jefferson will move to the slot if Calvin Austin is out, and I think that he'll be better off like that. Like Allen Robinson a couple years ago, you know, he's that possession receiver. Like, Van Jefferson's not a go-route guy. Calvin Austin's not a go-route guy because of his size. He's a over, you know, running over routes and getting his speed and you know, beating guys with speed across the field. But so now, if Austin is out, I think Van Jefferson does move down inside a little bit, and I think he's better as a receiver there. But he did lose the ball. Like, those were catchable balls, in my opinion.
I thought so. Uh-huh. Or at least balls where you would expect
a better attempt.
A better attempt, yeah. I think the running game was slow and plodding. And then eventually, in the fourth quarter, they broke Washington down. And Jaylen Warren fumbled, and that's an issue with Jaylen Warren. There's no doubt about that. As slippery as he can be, as physical as he can be, he puts the ball on the ground. It's why he is not the Steelers' number one running back. Najee Harris never puts the ball on the ground. All told, they wound up running for 140 yards. And then back to the passing game real quick. You know who showed up? Pat Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm.
Had a big third down catch and then had a touchdown.
Yep.
And the volume not quite there. Three receptions, 17 yards. But two of those catches were absolutely massive in this game. One thing that is evident is Darnell Washington still taking time to come around to be a well-rounded receiving guy. And I think Michael Pruitt is in that camp too. Like, they can catch the ball.
Yeah.
But twice we saw.
They weren't looking.
Yeah, they weren't looking. And Russ zips it in there. And you would expect better, I think, from both of those guys in those situations. So I do think a little unfair, although accurate, to say that Russell Wilson had a 50% completion percentage. There were more plays that could have been made for him out there.
Yes.
14 out of 28. You expected better from Calvin Austin. You expected better from Van Jefferson. You expected better from the tight ends a couple of times. And it could have been 17, 18 out of 28, which ain't great, but would have looked better. 412-928-9370. Your biggest takeaway from Steelers v. Commanders. 412-928-9370. That's also the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. What do you say we hand out some Doran Dickerson grades coming up next?
I like it.
Grades will be handed out. And then at 8 o'clock, let's start looking big picture, where we think this team reasonably can go. We'll be taking your calls all morning long, 412-928-9370 on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That was a back-and-forth game. A lot happened, and so we love taking calls on days like this to make sure that we hit on everything that you want us to be talking about. So again, 412-928-9370, your biggest takeaway from the Steelers' victory. But that music means Doran's going to give out some grades. Patrick Queen.
A. Patrick Queen, six tackles, a couple TFLs as well. I think he played his best football game. We've been waiting for a game like this. He was all over the place. I mean, he was a madman and just really helped that defense. As you said earlier, Crowley, whenever you have a game and you win a football game and you hold a team that has been running the football very, very well to minimal amount of yards, whenever your star player and one of the best defenders in the NFL doesn't record a stat, really, doesn't record a tackle or a sack, you're playing very well, and I think Patrick Queen had a lot to do with that. So I give Patrick Queen an A in this game.
They were never going to go in there and shut down Washington, but what they did do was hold them below all of their season averages. Points, yards, rushing yards, passing yards, yards per carry. They held them below everything. And so it wasn't perfect. They gave up 27 points, but I think Patrick Queen had a lot to do with that. Joey Porter Jr.
D. Not a great performance by Joey Porter Jr. How many yards and penalties?
A lot. Three penalties.
Three penalties.
So D is in defensive pass interference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, you'll have that every once in a while. You know, there's a lot. I mean, the receivers are good in the NFL, and McLaurin's good. And you knew that their passing game was going to be potent at times. But You just can't have that. You got to get that fixed. And I think Joey Porter Jr. will get that fixed. I think he's a fine player. I think that sometimes he just gets in his head after he gets beat a couple times and start using his hands too much whenever he doesn't have to. He's such a long cornerback that he doesn't really have to. He can create space with his feet and with his size. So I think that that's an issue. That was an issue yesterday. I don't expect it to be an issue moving forward.
I think it's correctable, right?
Yes. And
whereas a guy like Artie Burns, let's say, you're just getting beat.
Yeah.
And you just get beat.
Yep.
Then you get beat again.
Yep.
Then you get beat again. Mm-hmm. And your nickname is already burned because you can't cover.
Right.
Joey Porter Jr. can cover. He's just got to, you know, be a little less handsy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will be, but that was a knock on him coming out. And it's not like he does it every game.
Right.
So I think he'll be fine. TJ Watt. We had a caller ring up earlier and say that TJ Watt was invisible. I do not agree with that assessment. Now, he didn't have a sack, he didn't have a tackle, but he's always going to have an impact on the game, and I think he did. One of the crucial plays of the game, he absolutely annihilates Jaden Daniels in the back of the end zone, and the play before that, he actually should have, that should have been a safety.
Yeah, right.
Because he got held in the end zone, safety. So he should have accounted for 2 points, but did, I think, make it so that Jaden Daniels threw that ball off time, off schedule. I don't think he was awful just because his statistics said he wasn't, but what do you think?
I mean, he did hit Jaden Daniels' arm that one time on that one throw, so he got close. I mean, just because he doesn't show up on the stat sheet, just like you said, doesn't mean he's impacting the game. I mean, all the attention is really focused on him, so he's going to get the double teams. He's going to get guys holding, and you know, he has an uphill battle every single game. But that creates room for everybody else to make plays, and they did do that. So, I mean, it's tough. C plus. I can't go lower than a C. I mean, it's TJ Watt. Like, just because he didn't, I mean, his presence garners a C.
I do hope that the production comes back for him, though.
I'm sure that it will.
I think so, too. It's not like this is the first time he's seeing this kind of attention.
I'd like to see how he operates alongside of Preston Smith because, you know, I mean, whenever he has Highsmith back, it's a little bit better.
Yes.
But I'd like to see how it works with Preston Smith. Preston Smith, I mean, it's fine football. I mean, 69.5 sacks in his career. The guy knows how to get after the quarterback. So there's going to be some attention on Preston Smith. And then Preston Smith in the run game is very good. So I'd like to see how TJ Watt game does maybe raise another level with Preston Smith on the other side.
I am not expecting Preston Smith to come in and next week be everything that Alex Highsmith is, but I'm not expecting a massive drop-off.
No.
He wanted to be utilized more and correctly in Green Bay, and he wasn't playing as much as he would like, and they weren't utilizing him the way he would like to be utilized as an outside backer. Well, now's his opportunity. I think he's going to do quite well. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. How about just the offensive line overall? Because I thought Russ was running for it, particularly early in the game, and I thought they kind of warmed to the task. And then running the football, I think eventually they broke the dam. For me, and I'm not the football guy, for me, I'd say C+, because they did enough to win the game. And in crucial moments, they did a really good job.
Yeah, I'm right around there too. But I mean, Zach Frazier, for the ability to be off for so long and be a rookie and come right in and almost seamlessly have that transition back to where he was before he got hurt, like that is unbelievable. Really good football player. I mean, no snap issues, and just kind of just, you know, he's back to work.
Boy, that sure stopped.
Yeah, it really, when Russ came in.
What happened there?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess C+, right? C+, yeah, for the offensive line.
That is maybe my biggest concern moving forward, though. Like, I'll tell you, I said, if they get in drop-back passing situations down in a football game, what's it going to look like? Well, guess what? Arthur Smith said, we're still going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to use play action. We're down 10. There's enough time left. We're still going to be us. And eventually it worked. So they didn't have to, despite being down in the football game, change who they were. And it allowed the offensive line to play the way that they wanted the offensive line to play. This is an interesting one. And we're doing Doran's player grades right now.
James Pierre on defense or James Pierre as a whole?
As a whole. Because I thought he totally redeemed himself. Like, that pass breakup was nails.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't interfere. And that crew threw more pass interference and defensive holding calls, flags, I should say, than any other crew in the league coming into this game. So they're looking for it out there, and they're going to throw it when it's ticky-tack. That breakup at the end of the game on the most important drive for Washington, to me, I'm okay with him dropping the football because he made a winning play in winning time.
Yeah, he gets dinged a little bit for dropping the football, but you know the saying, you know, what are defensive backs, receivers that can't catch? Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I to be thrusted in that role and to know that you are going to get targeted, that is a lot of pressure. So I give him a B.
I'm giving him a B too.
Yeah, I give him a B. That's a tough deal. And in that moment, and knowing how Jaden Daniels operates, and knowing that passing game is can get going and can be so elusive at times, I think that was a tough deal, and he held it down for the most part.
They targeted him.
Yeah.
On that final drive, first play, first down, and they said, okay, James Pierre is out there. We're going after that guy. And for him to have screwed the game up maybe earlier on, and then to give up a catch, and then to make that play, that means a lot to me. Now,
he almost got a fumble recovery, too.
You're right about that.
Yes.
He's a hell of a special teams player. Mm-hmm. He really is. I mean, people were saying they should cut him.
No.
No. He's a really good special teams player.
Ridiculous.
And now, if Dante Jackson can't go next week, I'm probably kicking Cam Sutton outside, having Beanie Bishop in the slot.
No doubt.
And then if James Pierre is your next corner up, I think you live with that.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have him be the number two this week.
Nope.
And then finally, Keanu Benton.
Big play.
Big play.
You've said it multiple times now, and you know, at the time, I didn't realize how significant that play was until you brought it to my attention again and again, and I watched it, and I was like, man, he really made it. Like, that could have been something dangerous.
2 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
And if Jaden Daniels evades Keanu Benton, the Commanders are going to have a field goal attempt, you would have to think, at the end of that football game. So, hell of a play. Hell of an athletic play.
Yes.
And he hasn't been great this year. I ain't sugarcoating it. Hasn't been bad. Hadn't been great. That was a great play. All right. Doran's great.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bang, boom, bang, boom.
What about running backs real quick? You. I'm going to ask you. Najee and Jalen. What do you get Jalen? Scored a touchdown?
Tough eval.
Very tough.
Did not score a touchdown.
No, he didn't. Sorry.
But he caught a check down. That was a massive play in the game when the offensive line did look like it was folding at that particular point in the game. Check down, turns it into a big play of 26 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the ball well, was their leading rusher, 14 carries for 66 yards. But when you fumble at the goal line.
Pass that, protected well, too. But then,
and he always does, right? You fumble at the goal line, to me, that's at least knocking him back a full letter grade.
Yes.
That can't happen.
Nope.
And I do think the officials probably could have blown the play dead, but I don't know if you're going to, because the Steelers, multiple times in that game, the offensive line has pushed from behind. They've gotten yards whenever it looked like their dudes were stood up. Like, I don't know what the officials are supposed to do.
And that's what Steratore said, too, in his evaluation.
Yeah.
They went to him. It's like, you know, they're going to let them go because of, you know, how the Steelers and their running backs do run the football. So that's a, you know, that's a close call, but you absolutely can't fumble in that moment. So, yeah, you're definitely right. A letter grade, but what is the letter grade then?
I can't go higher than I would have probably given him. I probably would have given him a B plus. I'll take him down into the C range.
Yep. Yep.
And then I thought Najee. It was not the Najee we've seen the last few weeks, right? But on the final couple drives, Najee Harris was a factor. Was a factor, and so that seems to be the thing he does well is he wears teams down.
Yep.
So I think he was okay. Maybe B minus, something like that.
Yep.
All right. Coming up next, how do we feel about the Steelers? Just 30,000 feet relative to the AFC competition. The Chiefs look beatable, but can't lose. The Bills play with their food in Indianapolis a little bit. The Chargers won, but that thing was in the muck for a little while there. They're sitting there at 6-3, and the Ravens and Bengals defenses are terrible. So, where do we put the Steelers in this AFC pecking order? And we'll take your calls at 412-928-9370 on your biggest takeaways from this game. Steelers 28, Commanders 27. First, though, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 60.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.